Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody, man? Another show jumping in this, man. We got the devastating effects on narcissists from scarce narcissistic supply, man. That's what we're getting into today. We're going to definitely talk about it and go into some details more in depth on how these individuals, you know, are becoming more affected by people's awareness, you know. So we're going to get into it, you know. Just to give a moment to identify the station, this is the ASSC Group podcast show, or ASSC Direct Podcast. And for guests that want to call in, it's 347-945-5948. You know, without further ado, though, man, I thank y'all for jumping on and tuning in. But anyway, yeah, we're talking about the devastating effects, you know, of these narcissists, man. These narcissists that, you know, have been running amok for years unnoticed, because a lot of this information has been for the past, not until recently at least, it's been pretty quiet, you know. But now, you know, it's becoming mainstream. And you're starting to have more people be able to diagnose and dissect the behaviors of narcissists, right? And with that being said, what's happening is you're starting to get, narcissists are getting, you know, they're getting to the point where they get desperate. You know, when they have narcissistic injuries now, the narcissistic injuries are more intense. They're more, you know, hostile when it comes to their injuries. Because the more people know, the more information that gets out there where people are finding out about just how diabolical this disorder is, and just actually how many people are affected by it, it's making it a lot harder for narcissists to acquire new supply, because everybody checking for it now. They can't run that, and you know they don't like to be on a type of program or a type of kind of like where their moves are dictated by the knowledge of the people, put it that way. And the more knowledge that the people have, they have to move differently, in which they don't want to do that anyway, because that's very taxing on how they are. It's very taxing on how they get to operate in and out of people's lives. They don't like that. You know, a narcissist likes to be able to get unsuspecting victims who have no awareness of what's going on, what's happening to them. You know, they like to get people who are completely blinded, where they can run amok. And the thing about it is, narcissists have gotten to the point where they're starting to utilize the information that life coaches and people that are survivors are putting out there. Every time, you best believe they're on my page, they're on my channel and everything. They're soaking up that information too, trying to figure out how to counter the effects of what's this phenomenon of people waking up to what's going on. So just like you wouldn't expect them to tune in, they'll tune into my YouTube channel religiously. But this is the psychosis that is so deeply embedded into these individuals, to where they're going on trying to figure out what's the information that's being given to the people about us. And a lot of people say, well, does a narcissist know that they're a narcissist? Hell, did we know what narcissism was until we found out about it, until we started getting further information about it? So they may not yet know within themselves that, you know, I'm a narcissist, you know, from the definition standpoint of it, or the medical terminology standpoint of it. But they do know that something is wrong with them. They do know that they're different. They do know that they think different and that they process things completely different than normal people. They are aware of that. Trust me, they are. So they may not know that it's called being a narcissist, but they do know that something is different about them. They know that they move just a little bit different than other people. They don't handle or respond to things like other people, like normal, just the normal type of people do. So they do know that something is different about them. And then they go getting the information, then infiltrating, right? And the infiltration comes into place where the narcissist starts to basically play more of the role of the victim. They learn all the jargon of the narcissistic survivor community. So they learn the jargon and what's said. You know, they say how they, you know, they might tell you they've been hoovered to and all of this because they're trying to fit in. Think about it. That's all they do is just try to fit in with the general masses of society that is normal because they know they're abnormal. They have to hide. They're like another species. They have to hide amongst people who are normal. While being able to feed off them emotionally, mentally, monetarily, sexually, whatever suits them, they have to be able to blend in long enough to be effective at doing it. So now when we're catching on to them and we get knowledge and we're able to peek them, it's like, oh, man, they go into a very desperate way of acting. Because the sources of supply are more, we're catching on to it. We're seeing it. We know what's up. You know? We know what it is now. I mean, you got narcissists out there going to the max and lengths to get new sources. I mean, you got them up there saying seances over people. You wake up, the narcissist got their thumb on your forehead like that Chucky scene movie, the scene in the Chucky movie, the narcissist up there saying a seance over you. Witchcraft, they doing all of this to get supply now because it ain't easy. It's not easy for them, and the harder it becomes for them, the more extreme measures they're taking to get supply. They got to, because you know one thing, they do not like being alone. They do not want to be alone. They can't stand being alone. So they have to go to even greater lengths, greater measures on getting new sources. You know, people's draws missing. You thought you had a dozen pair, you only got six left. Half a dozen pair of your draws gone. You know what I'm saying? They burying people's draws, all kind of. I didn't heard all the stories. You know what I'm saying? And not to be funny about it, but I mean, this is what they're doing to just have that maximum type of control over supply. Because supply is getting away from them now. The moment people starting to see that, people starting to jump up out of here, man. They're getting up out. You know? So, yeah, tonight we're talking about the devastating effects on narcissists from scarce narcissistic supply, not being around for them, not being available and accessible to them. You know, anybody, I'm going to go to the lines. I'm going to open the lines up. I see a lot of you on. I'm going to open the lines and go to got 786 online. 786, you there?
And. How are you?
How you doing? Good. You got anything you want to say? Where you calling from? State your name. Where you calling from?
I'm Blossom. I'm calling from Miami.
Okay. You got anything you want to add or say to this evening to people in regards to what you've noticed about how desperate narcissists may be becoming in society now, or anything you may have noticed from them being exposed more about the information that's being put out? Have you noticed any difference or any change or any type of behavioral difference in narcissists from seeing the impact of what the knowledge is doing, from people having a better understanding of them?
I mean, I think that they are definitely intimidated by the knowledge. I know, I mean, honestly, I've played your videos, Quinn, and I've made a couple of videos myself. I've actually told some narcissists I met that I, you know, do videos and I have community, like, events where I try to help people overcome narcissists. And I've played your videos around them, and they know that I'm, like, interested in this information. But, so the funny thing is, two instances, one narcissist was a female. She was like, well, I think that you watch too many of those videos, and I'm worried you might need help, you know. So it's, like, kind of gaslighting. And then the second one that I had been with him for 5 months, he knew that I was making these videos. And so he saw one of my videos, and he was, like, talking about my experiences with narcissists. And he's like, all he said was, oh, you look hot in that video. You know, nothing about, like, oh, you're talking about information about narcissists. That's interesting. Tell me more. He had absolutely no interest at all. He showed zero interest whatsoever in what I was trying to do. He showed zero interest in knowing about the information because he heard your videos, like different videos, and he's like, he just had nothing to say except, oh, well, some people need to make money. And I said, oh, really? Like, that's the only thing he had to say about this kind of like movement. So I think from my experience that I've seen them like actually like listen to these videos and their reactions has been interesting, and the look on their face is more of like they want to kind of downplay it, like, oh, well, you know, people just want to make money, oh, this and that. So it's like they kind of play it off, like they don't seem to be very, like, I guess, intimidated in the sense, I think they're just really arrogant, because the one that I had dated for 5 months, he knew from the very beginning that I was a survivor and I was interested in all this information and I keep up with the videos, but yet he still actively went through the love bombing, pursued me, and, you know, tried to manipulate me. But he knew from the day one that I was into this. So it's like he wasn't even, like, I guess, intimidated, or he didn't put two and two together.
Well, you know what it is? It's just they think that they can beat it. They think that they can still get past your sensory perception, you know, your logical sensory perception as well. They think they can get through that and overcome that, because that's part of their arrogance, right? Very arrogant, think that, you know, she's doing that, but I can still, she's not going to catch on to what I'm doing. She won't have a clue. It's only when you give them that first real firm, that real stern, like, check, like, look, nah, I know what you are. You're doing the same stuff that I'm studying on, or I'm learning about. I know what's up with you. I'm good. That's when it really hits them, because it's all about your cooperation, right? Once you stop cooperating with them, that's where the problem come in at. That's where the issue starts, because cooperation is the name of the game for them. An uncooperative source is not going to be a good source for a narcissist, period. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, even though you're learning that, they still have to test that. They still have to prove and go up against that and make sure that, you know what, you're getting this knowledge and all that, but is the knowledge official, or are you just saying this, you're just speaking that? Because they always underestimate everybody that they deal with. Everybody gets underestimated. So they're not going to even take you serious about what you even study, and they're going to kind of like blow it off until you start to stand on those lessons and apply the knowledge that you've been receiving. That's when it becomes an issue. So yeah, most definitely, I can definitely relate to that. And thank you for calling in to the show tonight. I appreciate the call. Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, we got getting the calls in. That was, you know, interesting. You know, just to reiterate, that's the biggest thing when we're dealing with these narcissists. Narcissists are always looking for that cooperation. You know, they can't really get anywhere without our cooperation, without our participation. So once we stop cooperating. That's one of the first things you're supposed to do when you start seeing that, like, boom, cut it off. No reciprocation, no cooperation, no none of that with them. Once you cut that, you just cut the bloodline out. There's really no need to know you or deal with you anymore as far as the narcissist is concerned because they can't get anything out of you. You see what I'm saying? So I'm going to go back to the lines 404. 404, I got you on live.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go, brother. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, bro.
All right. Doing good.
Yeah, I want to thank you.
You got something you want to chime in? Good.
Yeah, man. I want to thank you, man, for making your videos, you know. You're really doing good out there for people, bro. And
I appreciate it.
What I wanted to say, this information, if I didn't run into this information that you put online and on YouTube, you know, I would still be in this marriage with a narcissistic female. I wasn't. You even pointing out things in my mother that I didn't know my mother was narcissistic at this time. What else I got to say, man? I'm driving, man.
When you found out this information, how did it hit you? Was it just mind blowing? Did it set you back? Like, damn, I gotta really look around and check.
It was mind blowing like a month. It was mind blowing because the whole time I'm thinking that this person can be fixed. You can do this, you can do this, you can do that, and they'll come around and snap out of it. You know what I mean? So now that I know that there's no fixing it, I went to the courthouse and filed for a divorce.
You had to end it right there, huh, bro. You had to just say, you know what? It ain't gonna work. It's just time to cut it.
Nah, I had to cut it.
That's
all
the part where
control,
a lot of people struggle.
All that control stuff, I just can't do it. I can't do the control. So, I feel for people that's still in relationships like this, and they need to get up out of there because there is no good in it at all. There's no good.
Absolutely. And you know what? And that's the thing, bro. A lot of people, they think that, I think what keeps them in there is that hope, that inkling of hope,
right.
Maybe they're going to change. Maybe they're going to turn it around.
Right.
Maybe it's going to be this one thing that's going to make them realize and see that they shouldn't be acting or being this way. But that never comes.
No, it never.
Wasting time. And the whole thing is the narcissist will use, they'll use your hope against you.
Right.
They don't use
you
the hope
see
against
it.
You because,
you can see
them
using
it. I mean, the whole thing about it is that the more we put our efforts and our heart into wanting to fix them, they just sitting behind laughing, like, because they've been, here's the thing that most people don't understand, it's not their first rodeo with you.
Right.
That's
right.
Not their first rodeo.
Right.
They done did this with the last person, the person before that. They know how the story gonna end.
Right.
They know that they're the problem. The problem is we don't know that they're the problem until we discover it. And like you said, bro, you just went ahead and went and got that divorce because that's the only thing you could do after a certain point.
Oh, yeah, that was it. Yeah, that was it. And, you know, the narcissist whole thing pointed out a lot of friends, a lot of people that I've dealt with, you know, out here on the streets. You know, I'm from Atlanta. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm right through Atlanta right now. And it pointed out, like, the haters, you know what I'm saying? I didn't know that hating ran that deep. You know what I mean? The way you break it down to me where I can understand it, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know where you're from, where you grew up, but it took for a brother to really, like, explain it to me that, you know what I'm saying, from my
I'm not from the South, bro. From Louisiana, bro.
Okay.
I'm gonna tell you the thing about it, the where the hatred comes in at. The the main thing embedded in them is the inferiority complex of feeling worthless and feeling less than. So they're operating already from a disposition of feeling less and feeling hopeless with that inferiority complex. So they feel hopeless to do anything about their situation, their condition, or whatever. So anything that they set out to do, they already feel and expect it to fail. So when they see people thriving and maintaining, they envious of that off top automatically, because in their heart and in their minds, they already believe and know that they can't do what you can do.
I mean, all the way down to what kind of car you got.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? They hating on your car, your job, whatever it may be. You could dress a certain way. They gonna hate on that, especially if you getting attention. They gonna hate on that.
Man, everything.
I mean, because it's not having a sense of originality. See, when you have a certain type of inner sense of originality about yourself, you're not worried about other people. Because you can respect the fact that other people could be original and do their thing too. And it's like, okay, I see you doing you, I'm doing me, we good. Not the narcissist.
Right, right. Stay,
if you ever notice,
stand alone.
They always, up in other people's business.
Yeah, worried about what they doing. Well, this person got this and they achieved this. I don't know why I'm not here. This is what I used to hear her say all the time. I'm like, don't worry about it, you know. Don't worry about what people doing. Focus on what you're doing.
Exactly, but that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing for them. They always in other people's business.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of staying on their own, standing on their own square, worrying about themselves, they're in other people's business. But yeah, bro, I appreciate the call tonight, man. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you, and keep up the word, man. Keep passing the information and the knowledge along the people, man. We strangulate these narcissists like real hard.
Yeah, bro. For sure, man.
Appreciate you. Yeah, we got it going. Hey, I'm gonna tell y'all. When I say, and a lot of y'all probably thought I was joking and playing around when I told y'all that, you know, I didn't hear from clients that the narcissist then really like stole their draws and stuff like that, man. And that's just crazy when you think about like, wow. You can't even have these individuals around you. They doing the max. You know what I'm saying? And it's all to try to bring you down. They doing all kind of things, man. You cannot trust these individuals in no kind of way. They're doing all some of the most just for the power aspect of it. They're going through all types of things for the power aspect of having an advantage or control over somebody. That's just how much. They're obsessed with that at least. I'm gonna go back to the line. 916. 916, you on live. 916. I think 916 might just be listening. I'm gonna go to 510. 510, you on live. 510. I hear a noise in the background, but no talking. There you go. How you doing? Hello?
Yes?
Hello? There you go. You're on live. You're on the ASSC podcast. You got something you want to say? Where you calling from first?
Yes.
State your name. Where you calling from?
My name is Renee. I'm calling from the Bay Area.
Okay, out there in the Bay.
Yeah.
Town. She's calling from the town. All right. You got something you want to say about the devastating effects of what you've seen about, you know, maybe narcissists, you know, being you know, how they're reacting to all this knowledge coming out, or any experience you want to share about that?
So my experience with it, I was 12 years in with one, and he knew he had something wrong with him. And he basically exposed it to me. And then I started doing the knowledge about it. And, then later on, but I left, I'm out of it. It's been a year and a month out of it.
he tried to act like that he wasn't one after he tried to come back. But now I done got the knowledge of it, and everything just fell into place. It was like all the pieces to the puzzle just – it just lined up, you know, of all the questions that I had and all the lies that he told and all the cheating that he did, you know. So, yeah, they're really smart. And like you said, I was not the first. He's done this over and over again and still doing it. So, yeah, they out here with the knowledge and they know. They know exactly what they're doing.
And that's the thing I be trying to tell people. Like, they be – on most of all these channels and stuff, you know the narcissist is up there. You know they sitting down like they're in class taking notes. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and because they got to be able to stay up, because the more we learning, they got to find different ways to engage us. They got to find different ways to get at us.
Yes.
You know, and
that's
frustrating.
Go ahead.
He had all the terminology. He had the terminology locked down with you.
He had all the terminology locked down. You know, I remember him saying all those things to me, you know, the hoovering, he used to use one all the time. I just can't remember it off the top of my head, but all the terminology, what he used to say, sabotage, self-sabotage, you know, things like that. So when I look back, I'm like, he always
you
knew
start hearing
that.
You start hearing him using, like, you know, projective. You hear him using projective identification. You be like, you know damn well that ain't in your vocabulary. You know, you don't use no projective identification. You know what I'm saying? They be using all the big words. You be like, where you get that from? You know what I'm saying? They be having all the linguistics and then the jargon all the way down, you know?
All of it. So I knew then that he had been studying some of this himself, you know. And, I mean, just his other relationships, as I'm looking at it, I'm like, yeah, he definitely has traits. I won't say he's a full-blown, but he definitely has a lot of traits of it. But one thing, you know, coming out of it, I have been putting other people on. I identify it. I recognize it. I've even seen some of my friends, their exes and things like that. So I've pulled a lot of people in with my situation. So, if I can help other people with it, that's how I figured this is the reason why I had to go through what I went through. So it's done. I feel
Absolutely.
Great. I'm healed and I'm just moving forward, you know? So
Absolutely.
That was my experience.
I appreciate the call, night sister. Thank you for sharing with us. We appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you. And thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, man. I mean, it's crazy when you think about, you know, first of all, these individuals are the imitators. Right, and imposters. So when the narcissist gets to a certain point of scarcity and supply, they start to break down, right? They start to panic. They start to panic real bad. And this way you ever notice in that the some of these love bombing stages that I've heard, the narcissist is like literally just throwing themselves on the people. You know, they just – you know, putting themselves in the people's lives, you know, showing up at your work, you know, you getting flowers and stuff sent up to your job, you know, and I hear this from clients, you know, I got stories galore, man, but it's to that point where they have to become experts at the charm. So it's important not to fall for the charm, too, because the charm sometimes sweep y'all up off your feet. You know what I'm saying? The charm will get y'all. They be up there bumping that Jacquees in the background while they talking to you on the phone. You know what I'm saying? they be really doing the most, man, to get you in that mood, to get you, you know, to unwind. Like, you know, they real cool, you know what I'm saying? So, and you just start falling for it, right? You got to beware of that type of stuff. Those is all them tactics that they be using. tactics, man, because they desperate. They got to really show that, you know, that meek, like, humble, soft side to make you let down your guard. You know, and when it doesn't happen now with the knowledge out there, they get frustrated more when they're not getting sources to just jump, for, you know, at the first sign. Because, see, back in the day, the love bombing was real cold for them. You know, the love bombing was real cold. They can come in with a little love bombing on you, and that love bombing hit you so hard, you know, have you just floating for, like, you know, you gone for the first 3-4 months. You don't even know what hit you. You know what I'm saying? You cool with going to the Village Inn or the Cane's. You know, you going out to Cane's and get that chicken special. You ain't even tripping that it's at Cane's. You just, because you getting love bombed so hard. You know what I'm saying? And you just chilling. It don't matter what y'all doing. Now you under that little spell thing. Now that ain't going to work. Now the narcissist has to put in more effort, which they don't like doing. They don't like putting in that type of effort just to get what they used to get so readily easy. It was so easy for them back then, but now it's harder. Right? I'm going to go back to the lines. I'm at, let me see, 215. Got 215. 215, you on live. 215 once, twice. Can't hear you, 215. I'm going to go to 510. I got another 510. 510. I can't, you kind of can't hear you too good. Hello? I can't hear you. Oh, I can't. Y'all in them booths, mobiles, man. Y'all got to, them booths, you know? I'm just playing with you, but I'm going to go back to the line. 757. 757, you on live. 757. One once, twice. I'm going to try one more. I'm going to go to 954. 954. 954. One once. Twice, I guess people just listening. We've got a lot of people just listening and tuning in. You know, I have to put that out there to y'all, though, man. The love bombing, you know, it goes through certain stages, you know, and the effectiveness of how it used to be versus how it is now, it's a whole different thing. It's not the same is how they used to be able to move back then, because we didn't even know about, nobody knew about no love bombing. You know, you ain't hear nobody talk about love bombing back then. And, you know, we that just wasn't nothing we thought about. The most we would probably say, oh, if they was tripping, they bipolar. And, you know, we kind of accepted that more because we'd be like, oh, they may need medication or something. They'd be all right. They just have a little mood swing. But this is way deeper than just a mood swing. This ain't just about a mood swing, man. This is way deeper than that. So when we realize, like the brother that called in earlier, you realize that they ain't no cure for it and there's no change in it. The only thing is to do is to let go. That's the only thing you can do. It's not going to fix itself, and they damn sure ain't gonna fix it. I mean, they stuck. There is no fixing it. You know, and so when they realize that people look at them as defective and to be left alone at all costs, just think about that. You know, I'm going to say it now. You know, as more people get deeply invested into this knowledge and actually applying the knowledge, narcissists are going to start becoming violent to get supplied. It's going to be so frustrating. You know, you're going to start seeing a lot of more acts of violence and all of that to get attention. They got to get it some kind of way. You know what I'm saying? Some kind of way they're going to have to get it. You know, because they basically feel like they're dying on the inside without having that attention, without having people or different sources of supply. Preferably people are the best kind. Preferably people. I'm going to go back to the line. I got 404 again. Another 404. 404, you on live.
Hello.
There you go. How you doing? I can hear you. Just say hello. How you doing? You still on?
Oh,
hello?
Hello. I didn't know I was on the line. Hello.
Yeah. Got you. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I was calling to listen in, but I didn't know my line was going to be called. But I'm doing well.
Yeah, I mean, you go ahead and speak on it. We fam up in here. Go ahead and speak on what you got. Anything you want to add on? Let the people know where you're calling from, though, your name.
I'm calling from Atlanta. And
okay. Really,
I can relate
okay.
to a lot. Yep, ATL.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I can relate to a lot of what you guys are saying. I would say the person that I was
mm-hmm.
with, we were together for about 3 years. We
mm-hmm.
had a daughter, and he completely changed once I, you know, became pregnant and was expecting. He always told me when we
mm-hmm.
were together that he was different. He's like, I'm different. I do things
mm-hmm.
different. I think differently. But he didn't really explain what that was about.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
He really mirrored me, things that I said that I wanted that were important to me. He said that they were important to him, too. And then it just completely changed.
Mm-hmm.
out of the blue. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know if he listens to these things. And I really haven't told him what I believe that he is, a narcissist. But
I wouldn't either. That's not a good move.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even let him know. You know, just
mm-hmm.
cut him off. Because regardless of what you tell him, it's not going to matter. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can tell him all day long. To you blue in the face that hey, you're a narcissist, that's not going to register to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just a word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a title, you know. They'll take offense because they know it's starting to become a negative attribute to be associated with it, being a narcissist, you know. But they won't really understand the in-depth meaning of what a narcissist is and how it applies to them.
Yes, I did make a mistake.
So,
I'm a psychologist, so I
mm-hmm.
did make a mistake at one point when I was first really looking into this, because I learned about narcissistic personality disorder in grad school, but I never really went in depth with it. I never really experienced it. I just,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've read a few sentences, a few paragraphs on that, along with all the other disorders. So at one point
mm-hmm.
I did tell him, hey, you know, I see signs of like a personality disorder when it first came out, and he was pretending like he wanted to change or fix things. And I was really trying to work with him, but his behavior just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I never said anything else to him about it. I just mentioned it that one time, never said it again. But it's difficult because we have a daughter. Yeah, we have a daughter. She's one. He wants to see her more and more, but there are so many really safety concerns that I have and so many things that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm wondering how I'm going to deal with this for the next 17 years. I'm already counting down the time, and it's only been 1 year.
I would say,
it's difficult.
In a, you know, to a certain aspect, and this is opinion-based, but in many ways, to even have something or someone around us as a narcissist being involved, can we really say, because you think about a lot of the social ideologies and society that has been put together have come from, you know, times where this narcissism wasn't a big deal and hadn't existed, you know. So we don't really have a scope of how to deal with it. And society is saying, well, you keep them around certain people, but sometimes that could be more devastating than anything. That can be,
mm-hmm.
you know, way more detrimental to have them around people that are like that. You see what I'm
Absolutely.
Saying? That's all I'm going to with saying that, because just because society says one thing and tries to apply that and make it, you know, make it into a moral and ethical, you know, position at least on how people should conduct and move with their lives, some of that doesn't apply always. You know, we can't go with definites with that, in my opinion. So I think you got to move in the best way that's most suitable and for you and your child. You know, hell, if they say they're like grown children anyway, why would you have a child trying to raise another child? You know, that's
he
just
said not that himself.
Know, but,
yeah, he said that himself.
Wow.
I have a lot of growing up to do, you know, on this. But, you know, it was this idea for us to become a family. So it's just really, it's really strange. And I hear what you're saying, and I really understand that. And that's something I wrestle with all the time. Because I don't really, I mean, I guess something that I'll have to figure out over the years. But
yeah, it's just something to think on. It's just food for thought, just something to think on. Yeah, just something to think on. But I do thank you for calling and, well, taking the time to share your story with us tonight. And thank you for, you know, calling in and tuning into the ASSC Direct podcast. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate your videos. They're always very helpful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Bye now. Yeah. You know, y'all, I mean, it's, it, you know, things... Look, you know, you have to move wise, in other words. That's all I say. You got to move in a wise direction, especially dealing with these individuals, you know. I'm going to go back to the line. That 331, 331, got you on.
Hey, Quinn.
What's
hey, Quinn.
Going on? How
you
doing? Where are you calling from? Yep.
Illinois.
Where are you calling from?
Illinois. You know, I moved on and everything else, but Quinn, I have a question. How do we get to, because I understand what you're saying. A lot of us, we have to take responsibility for us being in that relationship too. And that they have us kind of stuck even after we move on because we're still looking at the, what they promise and all the expectations and the dreams that, you know,
right.
How do we get to forgiveness?
That's a good question.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a good question.
How do we get to forgiveness so we can move on?
You know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, a lot of us we feel hurt because we gave ourselves and put ourselves in position to extend, you know, our love, our kindness, our compassion, and so forth to individuals who took complete advantage of that, and we got made to look like fools. So forgiveness comes from a point of, to me, of basically not beating yourself up, understanding that you're a human being, right? And we overlook something that we didn't quite see through the right perspective, right? And being okay to just, we have to be okay with making a mistake, right? We can't let that mistake define us as who we are and where we're going in the future. See, when we start letting that mistake define us to say, am I capable of good judgment? Do I know what I'm doing? When we start going into that type of, that's what starts beating us up, because that's when it starts feeling like, wow, we just kind of like become stagnant, and we sit there and we're like, damn, I can't believe I went through that. I can't believe I got did like that. And so we can't move on because we're still putting ourselves in a sense of feeling like it was our fault.
Oh, our fault. Okay, because I can move on and I don't feel stupid because, you know, just like Madoff, he had the wealthiest, most smartest, famous people, and he took all their money. So just like them, they're not going to get their money back. So that's how I saw my narcissist. I'm not going to get anything back. So I don't feel stupid because even those smart people got conned. So I just want to get to forgiveness, and I've been doing, you know, everything like it's on your thing say, and I take responsibility for being in the relationship, and that's where I was trying to get to that forgiveness part. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't beat up myself.
So when you think about, when, so So when you think about forgiveness and not giving it, what's the thing when you think about the interaction between you and him, what's the thing that still triggers you to make you feel like I'm not ready to forgive?
Well, because when I come to that, you know, when you do a session like with yourself, because you can't get closure with them,
mm-hmm.
so you just act like they're there, and then you tell them what you feel. And then when you start
mm-hmm.
going through the abuse, it's just there's no words for what abuse they've done to us and how they what they did and,
okay.
and all the effects. And then you want to forgive and you want to move on, like you said, move on. And I agree. And then that's where it's like, okay, your mind's even blown because you can't even concept everything that they've done. So you don't even know
right.
what, you know what I'm saying to you, Quinn? It's like so
Well, yeah,
crazy.
I got you. So think about it. You heard the term of forgive and forget, right? The reason why forgive and forget is so why they basically go with each other as they do, at least, is because as long as we're still remembering and replaying and thinking
uh-huh.
about what happened,
uh-huh.
you can't forgive.
Okay.
To see, it's gonna one works with the other.
Okay.
If you say you forgive, but yet you're still thinking about it, then you really haven't
mm-hmm.
forgive. If you're still
okay.
thinking about them even. So we're supposed to get them out of our heads. Like, okay, that was a moment in time at a certain point, over with.
Uh-huh.
Done. All the stuff they did, you have to leave that behind too with the forgiveness. Forgiveness is
okay.
like you're sticking to like a marker in the ground, right?
Yes.
You've went past this
yeah.
point. You're gone. You stuck the marker in there, and you're going to the next point, right? Every point you get to,
right.
you got to stick a marker and a flag in. Then you're not going to keep going back to get the other flag to bring it back to the other point, too. You're going to leave the flags in where they were at. Because that's a point that
okay.
you've been past already. You
so
see
you're
what I'm
talking
saying?
About,
as long as
like,
you keep going back
yeah.
and pick that flag up, you know,
uh-huh. okay.
you're still holding on to that same reference point.
Okay, so it's that tape on where you said that negative energy, and you got to just say, shh, be quiet, and let it go. Because you
yeah,
know how you
gotta,
get one
you
tape on
right
negative
there.
Energy? Okay.
Right.
Thank you, Quinn.
You gotta,
love
you.
When are you going to come?
Absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead. When are you going to come to Illinois?
Absolutely.
All right.
I got to see when my next tour is going to be coming up, but you will definitely know. Don't even worry about it. You will definitely be informed.
Okay, thank you. Love you.
Absolutely. You have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Yes. That was a good question, though. I mean, because a lot of people wrestle with forgiveness and how do they forgive, and it's most of it is you gotta force it out of your mind. When it comes up in your mind, think of something different, you know. Think about where you're going, the goals and the stuff that you're trying to achieve. Don't keep revisiting the things that they did, because it's only going to re-stir up those emotions. And then you're going to be feeling that, you know, like you want to get back and do all this stuff with them. And you're giving them life, actually, by constantly thinking about them. You're giving them life. You're making their energy still a living force around you. So, got to forget about them. I'm going to go back to the lines. 443. 443, you're on live. 443. Going once, twice. All right. I'm going to go for them. Let me try to get a few more in here. Going to 410. 410, you're on live.
You gotta get killed off. You gotta get killed off.
410. Once, twice. I'm gonna go to one more. I'm gonna go to 484. 484. One once, twice, three times. All right, last one. I'm going to do this because we have to wrap it up here. I'm going to go to 914. I see 914 sitting on. 914. Anything you want to say? 914. Going once, going twice, three times. All right. All right, so yeah. you know, as I said, people, these effects with narcissists not getting their way as they've been accustomed to getting is causing them to really freak out and take desperate measures. You know, beware of people trying to throw themselves onto you. Beware of people trying to move too fast with you. Beware of people who's trying to be too friendly with you. All right? These are things to watch out for. These are things you're going to have to be watching out for, making sure that you're not falling into, because these things will lead you into being a victim. You'll be the next victim if you're not aware of just how the length that these narcissists are willing to go to acquire new sources of supply. I mean, they basically cannot live without that. You know, I mean, they have to have some sort of stimulant to regulate their emotions and who they are within that disorder. They can't do what we do naturally, what we do normal. What comes easy to us comes hard to them. So automatically, that's where the jealousy and envy is going to come from, because we already have a certain gift that they don't possess. We can be original. We can be ourselves. Right? We can achieve things and do things out of our own effort, without having to cheat, manipulate, or do things like that to get the advantage over others. We can apply ourselves effectively to gain what we want. They're not about that. So naturally, they would have everything to look at you for and look down at you upon and envy you and honestly try to destroy you for it. A lot of times, y'all, when a narcissist get with you, they're just in to bring you down. They can see you have it going on real good. And they only hooking up with you to put an end to all that. Sometimes it's not about them actually wanting to get out of it. Yeah, they're going to get out of it while they're there, but they're going to put an end to it too. It's something to think about. Anyway, y'all, I'm going to wrap up the show for tonight. Again, the devastating effects on narcissists from scarce narcissistic supply on the ASSC Direct podcast show every Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. You can dial 347-945-5948. Tune in live every Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Anyway, I appreciate all of y'all for jumping on and listening and tuning in. I appreciate all the callers who share their stories. The people love that. Y'all, believe it or not, people love when y'all get on and share the stories. And, you know, it gives them a sense of comfort knowing that they're not the only ones going through this stuff. So, anyway, y'all, it's been real. Appreciate all y'all. If you missed this episode, they're on the – make sure you go tune in or subscribe to the ASSC Group Network channel on YouTube. And this episode will be on the ASSC Direct channel as well, this particular episode. So, anyway, y'all, have a good night. Stay blessed. Till next time, have a good one.